Yeah, so my family this week decided, like, it's fun to be sick. So it kind of went through a couple of my kids, and then Matt wasn't feeling good, and then he went golfing at the Kenosi tournament and then came home and was like, ah, do not feel good. So I was like, okay, what do we do now? I was like, maybe I can just kind of push this into like a worship service because that's my gifting. But then God was really like, Michelle, you got it. You're good. And so there was a couple of points that kind of came up. I am not a speaker by any means. So bear with me if I stumble on my words. I'm actually going to share a story. It's funny now, but it wasn't when it happened. When me and Matt were first married, the PAOC district or the general conference was in Saskatoon when we were first married. And the district, so the SAS district, were hosting it in Saskatoon. And so they're like, oh, you know what would be so cool is to have the woman, the youngest woman in ministry, introduce the oldest or the longest serving woman in ministry. And guess who was the youngest? This girl right here. And I do not speak. Like, worship and speaking are two totally different things. I feel way more comfortable. But anyways, and so I was like, oh, okay. And we were just married. Like, I felt like a baby, but I was 20. But I was still very fresh into everything. And so I actually, somebody wrote up the whole entire thing for me. And I was like, oh, that's wonderful. And then I read it, and I'm like, that is not Michelle lingo at all. I'm going to mess up the words bad. So I ended up going to my parents' place because it's Father's Day, so you have to talk about your parents. I bawled my eyes out because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to do this. And so my dad, happy Father's Day, Dad, if you're watching, he's probably going to watch this because he knows. He actually sat down with me at 20 years old and helped me rewrite the whole introduction for this wonderful lady. And so I was like, awesome, this is great. And Matt's like, you know what? You just grab the tablet, put it on the tablet. It'll do so well for you. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, we'll make sure it has 100% battery when I go. Went to this thing. There's a lot of women in this big room. We're having this like banquet. And I'm standing up there, like kind of like I am right now, still shaking. I feel like I have a little bit of PTSD, not gonna lie. And I went up with the tablet. I'm like, okay, I got this, Michelle. And I turned it on, and it was not turning on. And I was like, great. Of course, there's over like 300 to 500 women here, and my tech isn't working. Shockers, because I don't like tech. And so then I just put it aside and I just went for it. And you know what? It did go well. Yes, I didn't have a couple of people were a little unhappy with me and how it all went because it did not go according to their plan, but that's okay. I worked through that. And so I'm here today to get also conquer some of that because I know that God is challenging me to step into some speaking role. And so I'm just going to be a willing vessel no matter how it goes. But God is good and he uses us in so many ways. And especially as I deal with youth and stuff, I see it a lot where a dad role is so important. And that doesn't mean you have to be a biological father. It doesn't mean that you have to either adopt. It means it can also be a mentoring and a spiritual leadership role. And I know in today's day and age, I wasn't going to go this way, but I'm going to say it. In today's day and age, we sometimes can actually push down men because they were leaders. And ladies, we were like, yeah, well, not us, but you know what I mean. Ladies were like, but we can be strong too. We can lead and do this stuff. And yet we're still missing an aspect of men. And so I want to encourage all the men here today that you do matter. You don't got to do it right. But just being there for people, especially kids, we can see in so many studies that from 0 to 4, the mom's role is very important because it's that nurturing, it's that lifting up and building up. And then from 4 to 14, a dad's role is so important. And so I want to make sure that we bless our dads today and be encouraged knowing that your role means a lot, whether or not you're an actual father or the fact of you're just loving on other people's children, because it is lacking in our society. And I honestly cannot express how much it's so important. So I kind of, not going to lie, I also cheated a little bit tonight because this was very last minute and my thoughts were all over the pages, but I had a couple points that I wanted to get to. And so I used ChatGPT to kind of help me. And if you haven't used it, I'm just saying, use it as a resource, people. It makes your life so much better. But anyways, so I actually kind of put it all in and it just helped lay it out for me because sometimes my thoughts go everywhere. So I have 4 points that I kind of want to hit today. And number one, the first and foremost part is don't give up. Stay in the fight. Galatians 6-9, I don't have the slides because this was last minute, but Galatians 6-9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Fatherhood is not easy. It is a spiritual marathon and not a sprint. There are seasons when it feels like your work is invisible, or maybe when your kids are pushing you away, when your efforts seem unappreciated, when you're battling fatigue or doubt, because men, you guys are busy. And we know that, and I know that we don't say it enough as spouses and as wives and as ladies. We don't say it enough. We appreciate you. I know I don't. I don't say it enough to my husband, and I should. So I know he's watching. So you are loved and respected, and I appreciate you. But Paul says, do not grow weary. Keep planting the seeds of love, truth, and integrity. And the harvest may not come overnight, but it will come. Your faithfulness matters so much to your children, whether they're a kid who's living with you or even an adult. I think I have called my mom and dad so many times as an adult more than a kid. Because when you're a kid, you kind of fight with them a little bit because you're learning the ropes. But as a kid, as an adult, you come to appreciate your parents and the reasons why they say what they say. And so I just want to encourage you that your faithfulness does matter, even in the small things. Being present at the dinner table, offering a word of prayer or encouragement to them, working hard. We know you work hard, so thank you. And even saying I'm sorry when you mess up, that is something that is so huge, and it's kind of lacking in today. If I can be honest, it's lacking to just apologize for when we do something wrong, but that's us showing our children that we're human. We do mess up, but it's how we live it out and how we go about it that really matters. And that speaks louder than we will ever know as parents, even in the screw-ups and the messes. When I look back to my childhood, it wasn't the great elaborate gestures that my parents did for me or did with me. It was the small little things. I don't know if you know, my dad worked up north as an engineer. He went to the mines week in, week out, and that was something that was a hard decision for him. And I remember him sitting us down being like, are you guys okay? Like, this means I'm missing half of your life. Is this okay? And that was a hard talk. And I remember just being like, yeah, cool. Like, you're going to be home and you're going to be home. Like, when you are actually home. And when he came back, was he busy? Yeah. He was busy with yard work, with just dealing with family things, whether it was parents needing help. He was busy with church. He has been on the church council my whole entire life. I don't think he's ever gotten off. And so I know that he was so busy, but even in those small moments, he sacrificed a lot, and I'm very appreciative for that. And I'm telling myself not to cry because let's just not do that right at the moment. But he never gave up, even when it was stressful and busy. And that was one thing that really stuck out to me having a dad who was just there. Yes, he was up north and that was hard. But also when he was home, he took the time, even in his busy moments, to come and watch soccer games, or he'd just be home for meals, even cooking some meals for us. And it was even the little things of taking me. I was always that kid that just, I'm like my kid Aria. She just always wants to be present. I was like that. And just being with them, even if it was a dump run, I was all for it. Or even working on a car, I just wanted to be there. And he let me. And those are the moments that really hit close to home, is just those small things, whether a dump run or cleaning the church or putting shingles on the roof, I was there. And it was those moments where it actually impacted me more than he'll even know. So don't give up. Keep moving. Number two, learn from the past. But listen, hear this out. Do not live in the past. That is something, even me as a parent and learning with my children, we don't do things right every time, and it's hard and it's frustrating, but you cut yourself down because of, well, I could have done this better, or I should have done that. And I know dads, because of the lead role that you play, there's an extra ounce of this, like, oh, I got to do this right. I got to be this. I got to be that. It's okay to mess up. We're human. We're not perfect. We will mess up. But we can learn from the past and move on. Philippians 3:13-14. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Some of you are holding on to those mistakes that you've made as fathers. And maybe you aren't there like you should have been. Maybe you reacted in anger. Maybe you didn't lead spiritually when your family needed it the most. But Paul says, forget what's behind and press forward. God isn't done with you. He's still writing your story. He's not holding your past against you. He's calling you to rise up today, whether it's a good season or in a dry season. As my mom would always say, and she says this a lot, God's got this. And then I'm going to go and say it even further. God's got you. The cross of Jesus covers all sins. And that means when we ask for forgiveness, no matter what it is, it's like, think of it as a whiteboard. He has a whiteboard and your sins are on that. That feels embarrassing. But when we ask for forgiveness and when we repent, God just wipes it clean. He's like, yeah, I hear you. I forgive you. I love you and I want the best for you. And it's gone. And sometimes we hold on to so many things, and we're in a world where we are still living in the past mistakes that have happened, whether it's hurt. And I'm not saying that you can just kind of forget and leave it, because sometimes you need to deal with it and sometimes you need to work through it. I'm saying don't be stuck in that past. Learn from the mistakes. Learn from everything that went on. If you need to forgive somebody, and then move on. Because even I've been reading a book, even with mental health and stuff, if we hold on to that stuff for too long, it can actually physically make us sick. Our bodies, it drains us. And God wants us to live in a whole different wholeness, knowing Him, His glory, His honor. And so I just encourage you today, don't give up. Learn from those past mistakes and move forward. When I was a teenager, my parents, I'm so thankful. I learned a lot. A lot of my faith-building moments was going to youth events. And I went to the youth, it was YC, so a youth conference in Edmonton. And I remember a speaker saying something on the lines, I don't have it word for word because it was a long time ago. But one thing that he said that really stuck out to me and that I've been holding on so dearly in my own life is, think of it as walking with Jesus side by side. And when we mess up and we make a mistake, we fall down. He picks us up, he dusts us off, and we keep walking. But if we see it more to a whole reaching for heaven goal, like a ladder, and you're going to try to climb up, climb your way, and then all of a sudden life hits you and you fall, but you fall hard. And sometimes we think of it as when we fall, we have to restart. We have to start all over. No, God doesn't want us to restart, because everything that we go through in life is a lesson and a season. And it is a time of spiritual, personal development, of growth. And God, so I want you, if you don't take away anything today, I hope that you realize that it's not this ladder concept of you climbing your way to heaven to get there. It's you walking alongside in your life, walking hand in hand with Jesus, letting him guide you. And when there are mistakes and when you do fail, it's not just starting from square one, but it's learning from them and moving on. Don't let shame hold you hostage. Let God redeem your story, because he can. He's not looking for perfect dads. He's looking for ones that surrender and walk with humility. Number three, be a man of God. Lead with integrity and love. Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Being a man doesn't mean you have to be this macho, in complete control over every part of your life, because let's face it, we're not some days. But it means it's about justice, kindness, and humility. That's the kind of strength your family needs. That's the kind of strength all family needs. They need to see, the kids need to see men who are grounded in the Word, guided by the Spirit, living out their faith authentically. Do you have to be perfect? Again, no, because we're not perfect. We're all human. But be who God has called you to be, with your giftings, with your power, with your passions, and live with purpose. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them in the training and instruction of the Lord. Your role isn't just to provide for your family, it's to disciple. Teach your kids the ways of God, not just with your words, but with your life. We always hear the whole actions speak louder than words, and it is so true. Did my parents do everything right? No. My dad actually still is like, I did not do this right. But yet I can still say that I had the best parents, even in their mistakes. And that goes for all of you, is that even with our mistakes, you are still what God has called you to be for your children and for the people around you who may not have fathers. Yeah, my parents didn't well, but they didn't just say things to us. They lived it out and we could see it. God came first. And I'm so thankful for that heritage, because even in my own mistakes as a mom, I can know that God is in control and holding it all together. And when you make God first, when God comes first, we make this sound so complicated, and yet it's so hard to do all at the same time. But when we put God first in all things, in throughout our day, in your marriages, in families, even serving in church, everything will fill in the gaps. God does what he's going to do. And when we make God a priority and our priorities align with God, that really helps our kids to grow, knowing that they have something to fall back on. Because they're going to make up their mind. They're going to do what they are going to do. And that's okay, because they're their own person. But they will never forget those seeds that are planted in them. And so I also want to encourage you, dads, if you're feeling like you kind of didn't do as much as you should have for your kids, don't worry about it. God's got them. God's going to do what he's going to do. Your kids don't need you to be the hero, but they need to know the real hero, and that's Jesus. And I know that sounds such a, like a Sunday school answer, Jesus. But they need you to show it through your actions that Jesus comes first and God comes first in your lives. And my last point is the Father heart of God. Psalms 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Dads, the best way to become a better father is to know your heavenly Father. He is compassionate, he's patient, strong, and faithful. When you feel like you're not enough, remember that he is. Lean on him. Let him be your father so you can father your family. Be the man that he's called you to be, not some, you know, like fatherhood does not come with a manual. Let's be real though, guys. You probably wouldn't read it anyways. You probably wouldn't, but God has called you and given you your children for such a time and a purpose. And I wanted to really encourage you guys today. I know this is probably something that you've heard before, but if something stuck out to you, I just want to encourage you today that dads, you really do make a difference. I see it a lot working with youth when kids don't have a dad or don't have a role. Even just when we have male leaders coming and helping, it is amazing how attitudes and minds shift when there is a male present. It is something that just, it's like it's in their spirits that God has ordained dads to be dads and to be men to be father figures to everyone. It's crazy. Every time I'm by myself, it's a whole different ballgame. But when either Matt or Brock or Dylan, when they showed up, it was just like this ease that came over them, feeling like, hey, I have somebody I can look up to. So any little thing, whether your kids are adults, whether they are way older, or whether you have younger kids, know that you matter. Parents, you are doing such a good job with what you have, and continue to be the best that you can be. So yeah, don't give up. Keep planting those seeds. Learn from your past and press forward. Your story isn't over. You're maybe just in a chapter. Be a man of God. Walk humbly, love deeply, and lead faithfully. And above all, lean into the Father heart of God, because you're not alone in this. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I know that this is a little different, and but God, I thank you. I thank you for all the dads here today. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them, that God, you would give them a boldness and strength to lead their families and the people around them well. Lord, that would you encourage them, renew their mind. Lord, heal the hurt of past stuff. Renew their minds, Lord. Help them to lead with love and with wisdom and with humility. And I know that this is hard. And so, Lord, I just pray that they would feel encouraged, that they're not alone in this, and that your grace abounds so much deeper than we can even imagine. And so, Lord, when we fail, I pray that you would remind us of your grace and your love. Lord, when they are weary, Lord, give them strength, a new strength that is of you. And may we reflect you, our good and heavenly Father, to our children and to the world and to the people around us, Lord. God, I pray that we are a church that loves the children, the next generation, because God, we have so much hurt in this world. And Lord, as time is coming to an end because you are coming, Lord, I pray for boldness. I pray for peace. I pray for wisdom. And Lord, that all comes only from you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us and be reminded that you are walking alongside of us. I thank you, Lord, for your relationship with us. I thank you, Lord, that we can rely on you in circumstances and times of trouble. And God, I pray that we are encouraged and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.